There is a Latin phrase that's old enough to be engraved in the stones of the ancient Roman Empire. Repetitio est mater studiorum, which is translated, repetition is the mother of all learning. And so whether it be spelling or grammar or vocabulary, math formulas, the reality is that repeating a teaching over and over again helps it to sink in. Repetition is the mother of all learning could be applied to Jesus' teaching in our gospel today. No less than 7 times in this short passage, and it's a relatively short gospel passage, 7 times Jesus tells the crowd that eating his flesh and drinking his blood is the path to eternal life. Over and over again, he repeats the truth about the Eucharist, the gift of his body and blood, which he was to leave for them and for us at the Last Supper. One of the reasons Jesus had to repeat himself was that many in the crowd didn't understand the teaching. In fact, some asked, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Now, that's an understandable question, huh? They've been following Jesus and witnessing his miracles and teaching, and then he comes to the point where he says, "And oh, by the way, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you don't have any life in you." And they're like, "Lord, you can't mean this in a literal way. You must be talking about this in a symbolic way." This passage that we have this morning ends with verse 58. But if you take your Bibles out at home and turn to the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel, you'll notice that the questioning and misunderstanding and repetition continues until verse 66, where we read that many people found this teaching to be so disturbing, the literal eating of his body and blood, they found it so disturbing that they left Jesus and returned to their former way of life. And it's very interesting to note, Jesus lets them depart. As they're walking away, he didn't say, "Oh, no, wait, guys, hang on. I didn't say that very well. You're misunderstanding me. I don't mean for you to eat my flesh and drink my blood. I mean that in a symbolic way. Go ahead and come on back." Jesus doesn't say that. He doesn't try to clarify the controversial teaching, which is, in my mind, biblical proof that in the Eucharist we encounter the real presence of Jesus, whereby we consume indeed his body, blood, soul, and divinity along our journey to eternity. I hope you noticed the poster board photo we have of a young Italian boy in our sanctuary. His name was Carlo Acutis. Carlos was diagnosed at 14 with an aggressive form of leukemia, and he died when he was just 15 years old. Carlo Acutis was a pretty typical teenager. He had lots of friends. He goofed around, and he knew a lot about technology and computers. What made him a little unique as a teenager was his deep devotion to the Eucharist. He once stated, "To always be close to Jesus, that's my life plan." And he accomplished this plan through his closeness to our Lord in the Most Blessed Sacrament. He became a frequent communicant after the reception of his first Holy Communion at age 7. In fact, he is reported to have been the one to get his parents to Mass. Imagine that, a teenager being the one in the family nagging his mom and dad, "We got to get to Mass." And then before or after Mass, Carlo would often reflect quietly in front of the tabernacle. And he once said, "When we face the sun, we become tan." But when we place ourselves in front of the Eucharistic Jesus, we become saints. He knew the truth of Jesus' teaching, that it is his flesh and blood that leads to eternal life. Carlos used his gifts with technology to create his own website just 1 year before he died. And the whole purpose of the website was to catalog all of the Eucharistic miracles that have taken place across the world and throughout history. The more Eucharist we receive, he wrote, the more we become like Jesus, so that on this earth we will have the foretaste of heaven. After he passed from this life to the next at the young age of 15, devotion to his life began to spread, and the case for declaring him a saint was opened in Rome. Pope Francis declared him to be venerable on the 5th of July, 2018. And Pope Francis has now approved a miracle attributed to Carlo, which enables him to be beatified in 2020. And so he's well along the path of being officially declared a saint by the Church. I think that focusing on the life of Venerable Carlo Acutis is an appropriate way to begin the year of the Eucharist today, which has been declared by Bishop Daly for the Diocese of Spokane. For the next 12 months, throughout Eastern Washington, and in a variety of ways, we will be focusing our attention ever more closely on the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Had he lived, Carlo Acutis would have been 29 years old this year. Perhaps a young husband and father, or perhaps a newly ordained priest. In any event, the purpose of his life had been fulfilled, to stay always close to Jesus. And the exciting thing for me about this coming year of the Eucharist is that we may have in our very midst young people, teenagers, old people, ordinary people, for whom this year will be forming them into saints. If it happened to an Italian teenage computer geek, it can certainly happen to us. So let us rely on his prayers today, Corpus Christi, and throughout the upcoming year. Venerable Carlo Acutis, pray for us.